Com today.
Oh my God. Oh my God. They are firing the civilians here. They are crazy. They are going crazy here.
It was like a real war here. Bombing from every side. Shooting from every side. People are running from every side. The ambulance are running from every place here. So it was a really disastrous and scaring situation for all of us.
Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. What you were just listening to there, the sounds of a war zone. More chaos in Libya erupting as Muammar Gaddafi refuses to leave, digging in. And it's a question of the soldiers versus the people as they swear allegiance to Gaddafi. But how long does this go on? In fact, he went on Libyan TV in the middle of all the protests and said that he will continue. Went on state TV and said, I'm still in charge in case there was anybody out there that thought he wasn't. He wanted to make sure that everybody realized that he was still the man and that the soldiers, as I said, had allegiance to Gaddafi. If you go to americatonight.net, I've written a little thing about that, just basically saying, wow, could this be that another one goes down, another ugly dictator, but it's going to take a lot to wrench him out of that position. I don't think he's going to go quietly at all into that good night. A little bit different story if you're talking about Egypt. I think with Gaddafi, he's hanging on for as long as he can. What's interesting is looking at the video of him on the tube, the image of him. Very strange. This is radio, but trust me, I think some of you have seen the pictures where he's coming out of the vehicle, some kind of truck, and he's got a big umbrella, and he seems almost, in a way, even though the words aren't telling that story, almost as though he's oblivious to really what's happening in the streets, the vicious deaths of so many of the Libyan people. They're saying 300, but I think it's closer to 5 or more, according to some of the sources I have that have been sending me some text messages about it. And we know the counts is off. But he is the longest-serving Arab leader, and he's trying to just dispel every rumor that he can that he is leaving, that he has fled, that he's gone. He says that he wants to, in fact, be entrenched at the Capitol's Green Square, and he wants to talk to the supporters, but it was simply the rain that stopped him. I don't think so. You still have the pro-Gaddafi militia driving through Tripoli with loudspeakers, telling people not to leave their homes, stay in your homes, threatening that they're going to be blown to bits, basically. And the security forces that are in the streets trying to do whatever they can to stop the melee in the eastern parts of that country. I mean, you're talking about the second largest city completely in control of the revolutionaries. They've got control of it. You've got about 2 million people. So how long can they be held off? And what do we think the people who are protesting, who are revolting, who want Gaddafi out, what do you think they look like? They're young. They're gathering in the streets. They're running for cover under this gunfire. And they're pushing to get to Tripoli. As many as possible are trying to get there. You still, even in the dark of night, have the warplanes that are flying in overhead and the snipers on the roofs looking to pick people off. I mean, I think this may be one of the ugliest things that's going to go down. I think that. What happens on the other side of this to oil? I mean, this protest slamming into a major player in an OPEC country. We talked about this before. big supplier for Europe especially. Don't think that the U.S. isn't part of this game, but in a much smaller scale than Europe. Some of you listening to me in Europe, in the U.K. and whatnot, you know what I'm talking about because you probably tried to fill up today and you saw that the petrol went sky high. It already was pretty high, but it even jumped up from there. Because what's happening now is they're looking at reserves. They're looking at reserves even in Europe, thinking about, you know, what's next. So Tripoli pretty much shut down on Monday. Not a surprise. Schools, government offices, all that stuff, stores closed. A couple of places open, but very few because people are hunkering down or they're trying to be part of the revolution and try to circumvent the militia that's picking through the streets, combing through the streets, if you will, for lack of a better way to describe it. So that's what you heard there at the very beginning of the show. And protesters pretty much are, especially in the second biggest city, I mean, they overran all the security there. So what happens in Tripoli? You even had Gaddafi's son, who went on early on Monday. You know this because we talked about this already in our previous show. And he was kind of confused, rambling at points in the 40 minutes where he was on the tube and saying he was going to fight and go up against the protesters and a civil war would kill Libya's oil wealth. And, you know, basically it would burn it all out. And that his father, Muammar Gaddafi, was the leader and that everybody is with him. I think Gaddafi is just going to just dig in as much as he can dig in, but don't be shocked if this regime falls. The only way it falls, though, is if the protesters keep it up. And that means more carnage, more serious collateral damage. When it's all said and done, who knows what the body count will be? Who knows? Speaking of that, while we're setting the menu for this hour of ATN, we're also going to talk about protests here in our own backyards. The Wisconsin thing still going strong, and I think Tuesday is going to be the big explosion day because neither side is budging in that union fight. And if anything, they're trying to amass more names, more push on both sides of this thing. No resolution. I mean, zero resolution in sight here. Senate Republicans are pushing ahead. They're pushing ahead with some other things, or they did on Monday anyway, like tax breaks for dairy farmers and other housekeeping kind of things and an attaboy for the Green Bay Packers. But they're not budging from going after the collective bargaining rights. So far, you have protests like on Saturday, 68,000, 70,000. At one point, somebody told me they really believe it was up to 90,000 people. You had people on Monday, President's Day, temperatures in the 20s that were still marching and waving signs, stop the attack on Wisconsin families. So we're going to give you the latest, the very latest that we have on what could happen on Tuesday, plus some odds and ends, and we can count. On the flip side, though, what's happening with Facebook and kids? Some of the stuff that they're saying in Facebook, getting them into trouble. We played some comments last week. Stay with us. Tom Gulley in the wings.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeCig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeCig. E-cigarettes with a look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeCig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small, rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeCig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeCig.com. That's L-E-C-I-G. LASIG.com. LASIG is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LASIG.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's LESIG.com. LASIG, for today's modern smoker.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Facebook is. I have those special America Tonight glasses where I can see hands being raised across America and beyond. I don't see anybody raising their hand. How can you not know what Facebook is? Even Betty White, for God's sake, knows what Facebook is, as it kind of put her on the map last year and got her Saturday Night Live gig. Facebook has been good for some people in a lot of ways and has been very tricky for others. And it's unbelievable sometimes what people will post on their Facebook pages. I know of some divorce lawyers who have won cases because their client's spouse, when they were supposed to be with kids and doing other things, had pictures on their wall where they were smoking pots or drinking a bunch of martinis or hanging out with some guy or whatever. But they got busted, in other words. See, it's not always the guy. They got busted because they posted pictures of themselves doing things that they weren't supposed to be doing at the time. They were supposed to be with their child. And this happened in two different cases, and I'm sure there are a ton of others out there. We all know the story about Natalie Monroe and the fact that she pretty much called out her students. And I thought what she said had a lot of merit to it. Unfortunately, the parents kind of turned on her, and so did some of the students. She ended up getting suspended, and of course we're talking about a Bucks County teacher, and she's not the only one. There have been some other teachers that have had problems with this, too. There's a Western Pennsylvania high school teacher who's been suspended for 30 days without pay because she appeared in a photograph someone else posted on Facebook that included a stripper at a bridal shower. My pal Tom Gulley, who has his Tom Gulley radio show/podcast, knows a lot about this Natalie Monroe situation, as he posted a response to that pretty much, or threw his thoughts out there on a Facebook page supporting this teacher, and got some crazy blowback from some students that you heard on this show last week. We played you some of those comments from one of the parents. Hey, Tom, how are you?
I'm doing just great, Kate. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. First, let's rewind this. They know what I'm talking about, the listeners do, because we played some of the stuff from the woman that you talked to on the phone. You were leaving a message about her son posting something calling you a pedophile on a Facebook page that was supporting this teacher.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I figured, why not call the parent, just let them know what's happening. And then the parent posted the same thing, and you heard the crazy call. And subsequently, I've gotten, I don't know, 300-400 messages of various kinds from students at Central Bucks High School, Central Bucks East High School. You know, that particular accusation has been made a couple of dozen times. I contacted the school thinking they would take an interest. Their attitude was basically, you don't live here, so too bad.
Really? That's what they said? You don't live here, so too bad, we don't care?
The guy said, Abe Lukabaugh, he's the principal, he said, I don't know who you are, where you reside, or what your affiliation with Central Bucks School District is. Are you the parent of a child in the district? My database does not mention your name. Are you an employee? If you're neither of those things, you need to contact your local law enforcement.
Wow.
I was thinking, you know, a school, that'd be the first place that would want to know about this and handle it through the parents. He's saying call the police. If I was a administrator of a school, I wouldn't want the police call.
No.
But that's what he wants, book, chapter, and verse. So,
what did you do? Did you call the police, or are you just dropping it?
No, I'm going to do that tomorrow. I mean, if they don't want anything done about it, I've posted over 100 incidences of various hate speech and profanity and everything else, and clearly it's not a problem. I can see why Ms. Monroe posted what she posted. These kids don't feel like there's going to be any repercussions to what they're doing. They can post anything they want. As you know, that particular allegation carries with it a stain that you really can't wash away, and having it on the internet, unacceptable. So I did a podcast about it, as you heard. I did a blog. Still doesn't seem to be getting any attention in Bucks County.
Yeah, that's very strange to me. I don't understand why they're turning a deaf ear, if you will, on this. First of all, what she was saying, like you mentioned, rings true, I believe, in what's now happened with you, because these kids are just, this is part of the problem of the Wild West of the internet, and now Facebook, throwing, like you said, something out like pedophile. Well, somebody sees your name and they see that. They don't know. They don't know that it's some kid. They might not even know that. They just see that. They read that. They pick it up. And who knows where it goes from there. You have to do something about it. You can't just let it linger out there.
Well, that, and it's almost worse if it's from a kid. I mean,
yeah.
That particular allegation, I can see the principal's point regarding, hey, you know, I don't have any binding authority to, you know. You still have the authority to issue a general, hey, kids, don't be doing this sort of thing. It's not good for you. It's not good for your parents. It's not good for the school. I know a million ways it could have been addressed, but to tell someone who's bringing a problem of this severity into the hundreds of examples to your attention, hey, sorry, you don't live here, shows a staggering naivete and lack of being informed about the internet, in addition to the fact this guy says, I don't have any access to Facebook. Principal of a high school in this day and age going, can't help you if it's on Facebook, is amazing to me.
Yeah, no kidding. And I want to tell everybody, too, they could go to, if they go to the rulesofstupid.blogspot.com, right? They can
if they just go to thetomgullyshow.com, that's okay. Where everything is at. That's where the podcast, that's where this woman who amazingly said, I didn't call you a pedophile, I just said it was pedophile-like behavior. I, you know, the parent, this is a parent in that community that is coming online and leading the charge in front of these kids. It's amazing to me. Wouldn't any parent just want a simple phone call, hey, this is what's going on, you handle it?
Yeah, no kidding.
So I thought, but I guess I was wrong.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I'm thinking back, Tom, you and I didn't have Facebook when we were these kids' ages. But can you imagine if your family had gotten that phone call? What do you think would have happened to you?
Well, actually, the same thing. There's been one or two parents that I've gotten a hold of that have completely gone, that's wrong, we will handle it, sorry that this happened. They were very apologetic. And that's what would have happened in my family. It would have been, let me see what's going on here, confirm that what you're saying is true. And then if it's true, my kid's in a world of trouble. You would think, given what happened to Natalie Monroe, that these kids would have a living, breathing example of watch what you put on the Internet. But
yeah, boy, no kidding. I agree with you. Natalie Monroe, what do you think should happen with Natalie Monroe?
Well, you know, I think that personally for me, it's a free speech issue on her part. She should be allowed to blog about her experiences without naming a kid specifically. As I understand it, she didn't name herself specifically in her blog. Some people have said that she was doing it at school. I don't know, you know, if that's the case or not, and I guess that's a whole nother subject. But as far as her right to express herself that way, I don't think teachers should be, kept from saying things that are true and, bothersome to them about their children that they teach. And in this case, I think there is ample evidence, by the way I've been treated, to indicate that she had a gripe.
Yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely. Tom, by the way, I think that, because I'm all about the free speech thing, too, but I think we're going to see more twisted things like this happen on Facebook and other social networking sites, don't you?
I do, and I think with this day and age of students signing codes of conduct and contracts of behavior, parents and schools have to say, you know what, this is an extension of the world we live in. It's not only outside school, it's in a larger sense of the world than the mall that maybe you and I, Kate, used to hang out in. And they have to really say, look, what you do here reflects back on you, your parents, and the school, whether you think it does or not.
Yeah, no kidding. And it's a lesson they got that I think they have to learn, because I'll tell you what, especially somebody goes off and they start to apply for colleges, they start to try to get into certain careers. I'm telling you, people, whether it's fair or not, people comb through everything when they're looking for certain people to fill positions. And there's so many kids that are out of work. There's so many really good young kids that could take some of these positions. You could lose a job opportunity, I believe, that way.
I think you're right, and it works both ways. You know, these accusations that they make can do the same thing to the other person.
Yeah, I agree with you. Interesting stuff. Always fun to chat with you, my friend. TomGullyShow.com. Check it out. It's a wild story, and we've painted some broad strokes here. We talked about it last week. Where do you think this should all go? Tom, thanks.
Thank you, Kate.
All right, coming up round the bend, you want to hang with us here on America Tonight.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793. 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
This message starts with a great offer from Big Berkey Water Filters, because we don't want you drinking dangerous water 1 minute longer. Right now, purchase any filter system from BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com to get your choice of two Berkey Sport bottles, a KDF shower filter, a set of fluoride filters, or our new Sightglass spigot absolutely free. Why do this? Because over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated, and at less than 2 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify both treated and untreated water, removing dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and other contaminants. Big Berkey water filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, so they're perfect for rainwater collection systems and emergency preparedness. Remember, Big Berkey includes free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call today 1-877-99-BERKEY.
There's mounting evidence suggesting that there are people, governments, corporations, and whole professions intent on short-circuiting humanity's well-being. GMO, food legislation protecting big agriculture, the attempted elimination of vitamins and alternative medicines, it seems their hand has been tipped. They want to dictate your health, wealth, and your longevity. Whatever the outcome, we have a solution. Wild edible food. Why worry about food when all has been provided? We imagine that we were ejected from the garden and never invited back, but the garden's still here. There is an endless wild abundance which grows all over our green earth, just waiting for you to wake up and see it. Let author Linda Runyon teach you how to see, know, get, prepare, store, and eat wild edible food. Save money, add nutrition, and ignore the noise when you go shopping in nature's supermarket. Go to ofthefield.com and get started today. Or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. And begin to see a different world.
For you. Check this out. In Minnesota, have they lost their minds in Minnesota? It must be the snow. They have brain freeze. That's what I think. So check this out. I'm going to set this up correctly for you, okay? I'm going to tell you a real story. In New York, think about it, our biggest city, Manhattan, New York, all the people squeezed on the little island. With the big, tall buildings. If you're a smoker, which I'm not a smoker, but hey, I get the fact that I can appreciate the fact that that might be a vice that some people have. And if you smoke, you cannot smoke in Central Park or any of the park areas. And I started to think about it as I've definitely pounded the pavement in that city. Boy, it'd get pretty tough. So what are you going to crowd the pavement with people that are just shoulder to shoulder trying to hurry up and smoke those cigarettes in the middle of the city? Because if you look at Central Park, that cuts through a lot of areas. You cannot have a cigarette on one of the park benches there. I think it's kind of crazy, not just in Central Park, but any of the little parks. So in Boston, they're trying to do the same thing. And in Minnesota, they're set to ban smoking anywhere on county grounds, even if you are sitting in a car smoking a cigarette. They're going to not allow you to do that. It's already banned in government, in the government center there in Minneapolis, but if these new proposals get the stamp of approval, smokers may be liable for fines on pavements outside and in the cars parked on the so-called county grounds. See, and what they're saying is the board chairman says, a guy named Mike Opat, I don't know who he is, but I'll call him dummy number one for now. He says the new ban would tackle an ugly, this is a quote, an ugly and disgusting habit that visits itself on everybody else. I don't smoke. I don't smoke. I don't want anyone blowing smoke in my face. But I got to say, you have to give smokers their rights because it's a slippery slope. And so even if you want people to quit smoking, even if you don't like smoking, you know, listen, it's only going to be worse because what's going to happen is the areas are going to be so confined. It's going to be so confined where you can smoke that ultimately it'll affect all of us worse. I'll tell you, you know how you know this? I'll give you a couple of good examples. Two places that I've been, Raleigh Durham, they have a smoking lounge in the little airport there. It's a cute little airport. Man, I'm telling you, when you go by it, I think it's like you've just smoked two cartons of cigarettes when you just walk by it. You just walk by the door and the door opens for 2 seconds. In Miami, they have a similar thing, and it's kind of in this atrium deal where you can smoke. And I'm telling you, it looks like those old smoke ender things where they had people who put the cigarette butts in a jar, and sometimes they'd still be smoking, and it looked like you had smoke in a jar. But just picture people just crammed in there smoking. Same thing. You open the door, and it takes your breath away. And it's right in the middle of the airport, too. So in Minneapolis, what they're saying is, look, we're not trying to punish anyone. It's just to create a healthy environment. Well, of course, what they're doing is saying, we don't like smoking. None of us are smokers. We think it's a filthy habit. It's dirty. And it's probably not good for your health. So we're going to take it upon ourselves to say, you're not smoking here. And if you're smoking in your car, I don't care if you put it out in the ashtray, you're in trouble here. Because we're going to come after you in Minneapolis. So I ask you, fair or foul? And I'm going to say, foul. I'm going to say foul. I'm a non-smoker. It's pretty heavy-handed. It's pretty heavy-handed. So I don't get it. And I think the more that you do that, then the more you'll have blowback where people can say other things. And before you know it, I am not kidding you. When I say that slippery slope thing, you'll just have this crazy list. Just picture this. Picture this filled with silly, and this is for people that are looking at me right now in chat, filled with silly, stupid things that you can't do. Oh, we don't want people in their ski boots to walk across the street when they've just skied down the mountain because that could be dangerous, what they could do to the road as they come across. Or we don't want this to happen. You know, you get what I'm saying. I mean, I can make up a zillion things. Some of them that make sense, some of them that are stupid. It's ridiculous. And shame on the county commissioners who are going after this, because they're creating, I think, something that could be a little bit worse. So you can't smoke anywhere on the county grounds, even if they walk across the street and they're on the sidewalk. What people are going to just, you know, they're going to get a little fan, be there in the restroom, smoking as fast as they can, and then just putting it out in a little tray and putting it in their bag or their purse or whatever they have to do. Nicotine is one of the hardest things to kick, I understand. So if you're in the middle of this, if you're working here and you're in the middle of this, boy, they're not giving you a lot of time to play catch up here. They're not giving you a lot of time at all. I got another fair or foul for you. This was something I read the other day, and I had to double check on it, but it's being considered, seriously being considered. Pot. How lethal is pot? That can be a tricky question, right? When I think of pot, I think of somebody smoking a joint. I think of different reactions, how somebody would be impaired, or that they would, people swear they get the creative gene, other people become wolves because they're starving so they eat anything in sight, other people get hysterical, their minds expand, they laugh at ridiculous things, you know, whatever it might be. So they're saying in Colorado, in Denver, because of the epidemic of people smoking dope and driving, they're trying to make it a DUI of pot, driving under the influence of marijuana. Boom, you're nailed. How do you gauge that? Officer pulls up. Are you impaired? Was it pot or was it booze? No. Okay. How much dope did you smoke? I mean, how do you determine that? On what is the scale there, in other words? That one might be pretty difficult. That could be very difficult, I think. But there is some support for it. People say, well, you know, for people that drink, if you or just even have a few drinks, pulling us over and then saying that we're under the influence, is it any different than somebody smoking pot? Do you think the two are different? And I know I'm opening myself up for a lot of different emails, mostly emails I bet I'm going to get on this, on the subject. Which is more lethal, marijuana or alcohol? Which is deadly? Which is definitely risky to others on the road if you're doing it? Some people say, listen, it's not fair. If you want to say X, Y, Z, however many drinks blow into this, what's the lethal amount? How unfair is that if people are going out and they're smoking pot and then they're getting in their cars and they're driving? What I'd like to see, and I couldn't get this. I tried to get it. I might be able to get my hands on some of these statistics, but what are the statistics for the people that have smoked pot that are driving that have caused accidents? What do you think those statistics are compared to the alcohol statistics? And even if we went state by state, I'm going to just guarantee you that the alcohol statistics are much higher than the marijuana statistics. It's very interesting about pot. Here you have on one side so many people who are trying to do things like the DUI pot scenario in Denver, and then you have the marijuana, beyond medical marijuana, legalizing marijuana, that issue coming up constantly in California and some other states, the idea of legalizing pot. I'll tell you, you get a big clue about this when you talk to that wide swath of people. And I don't think in my lifetime, I don't think that we will ever see pot legalized. I don't think so. And on this show, we've had all sides of this. We've talked to people in the rehab business who think it's a gateway drug. We've talked to police officers who believe if marijuana was legalized, it would help the police departments lessen the burden. They could focus on other things. They wouldn't have to pick up people for, you know, little bags of pot that they're busting now in some cases. And also, they believe, many of the law enforcement types that I've talked to believe, if you legalized marijuana, that would help at the border and with some of the situations with the drug cartels. I don't know about that, because you got to think of the meth and you got to think about some of the other things that are coming over through those tunnels. Coming up on the flip side, we're actually going to check the mail and take some calls. Stay with us.
It's a new year full of uncertainties. People are being laid off in record numbers. The price of food continues to rise, and the economy continues to falter. You know that you need to prepare, and maybe you've been putting it off, but the time to act is now. That's why you need to visit OrganicaSeed.com At OrganicaSeed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds and survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and your family for years. Imagine growing your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco. With detailed growing guides available to you at no charge, you can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to OrganicaSeed.com. That's OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com today.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
ground, Blue Star says in chat here on America Tonight, we're talking about the marijuana issue and the fact that they're trying to make it a DUI in Denver. Blue Star, some great comments. Thanks, we appreciate it. Blue Star says a study of patients in a shock trauma unit who had been in traffic accidents revealed that 15% of those who had been driving a car or motorcycle had been smoking or had been smoking marijuana. Another 17% had both THC and alcohol in their blood. Also, in a study conducted in Memphis, Tennessee, researchers found that of 150 reckless drivers who were tested for drugs at the arrest scene, 33% tested positive for marijuana, 12% tested positive for both marijuana and cocaine. So, Blue Star, thanks for that. We have some other research to back a little bit of that up. It's interesting because I know that I have people on the other side of that that will tell me different numbers, too. David in Texas, you have the floor. Hey, David.
Hello, President Kate.
Yeah. In our lifetime, I would not be elected president, but thank you for that. What's up?
First I want to say I feel bad for the people over there in New Zealand with the earthquake. That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, this issue about alcohol and drugs and alcohol and smoking, they should go back to the way before the prohibition days with the alcohol, number one.
Way before the prohibition days. What are you talking about?
Where it was illegal to drink alcohol.
Right. So you're saying we should ban alcohol.
Ban alcohol. Don't have a problem with nicotine because it's as bad as heroin trying to get off of it.
Yes.
Because I smoke, okay? And pot, you're right. It does affect people differently. But, I believe that I would think that they need to legalize pot. Just pot, nothing else.
So the scorecard for you is scratch alcohol, pot legalize, and smoking is like nicotine. Nicotine is so addictive, you got to just leave it.
Well, let me put it to you this way, Kate. My father is almost 65 years old, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He'd been smoking since he was in high school, when they allowed you to smoke in high school.
Right.
He did not quit until just recently, supposedly. I can't confirm or deny it because he's good at hiding things. But he has said that he has been almost 2 months without nicotine. He said he was ready to quit. That's why he quit, supposedly. I can tell you from experience, I have been smoking not as long as him. And every time I try to quit, I have people within 2.5 weeks tell me, what brand of cigarettes do you smoke? And I'd have an empty pack showing what to remind me, hey, this is what I smoked.
Right.
They would go out and buy me at least two packs of cigarettes and say, we would rather you smoke because we can't handle you without you. My mother, in fact, has told me that if I ever were to quit, she'd have to put me in a rehab for 30 days or better for me to quit.
Well, I get you. I get you on the nicotine thing and how tough that is. And here's the thing with alcohol, though. I don't think I would ban alcohol. I mean, this is a personal responsibility thing. Look at like somebody like me. I don't drive drunk. I don't drive while I'm drinking. But guess what? I make wine and I have a glass of wine occasionally, or I have a few beers or whatever. But I don't.
I understand that. But there's way too many people out there that don't really give a flip,
right?
It's kind of like the issue you were saying. It affects pot affects people differently. This is a proven fact. Some people, when they are on pot, do not need to drive or do anything. They need to go grab them something to eat and then go to bed. Same thing. I mean, pot and alcohol are basically, they have the same effects on people, on some people. It affects them differently, but it's similar to this. They have the same similar effects because that, I mean, I can pull you up a study. I won't do it in the chat room or here, but I will find out, where that is. They've done a study where alcohol and pot have the same effect.
Right.
But one's legal and one's illegal.
Right, I got you. David, we got to fly because we got Tomas in Michigan waiting in the wings. But you can't do this. This is the thing. If you're going to outlaw alcohol and pot, then you got to do them both. I don't see how you scratch one or the other. Hey, Tomas.
Yeah. Hold on. Yeah. wow, this is like Delaney on America. I mean, tonight, Delaney... Ooh! Wow. Anyway, I think we should just legalize everything and then tax
sort
it
out
and make it legal and make people pay, but not too much, so that they can have a happy life, man. And anyway, so yeah. Woo! Anyway, I was going to talk about the budget, but. You know,
don't drink and drive, don't smoke pot and drive, don't do anything and drive. Just focus on the road and the idiots around you who are texting because they're just as dangerous.
Right. You know, there ought to be a chip that once that chip goes inside a car, it deactivates the mobile phone. You know, just deactivates it.
Yes.
And when you put your hands on the steering wheel, it tests the blood right there. And if you have too much alcohol or too much something else in there, you can't drive the car. I mean, you know they got the technology, okay? You know they got. I mean, come on, we put like 12 men on the moon half a century ago or more.
Right.
All right.
Right.
So don't tell me you can't come out with technology that makes the car drunk driver proof.
But, yeah, now we're talking about Tomas. That was great. That was good stuff. Thanks. We're talking about cutting people off their mobile phones, putting a chip in there. So basically, what are you going to do when you drive? I was at a seminar today where there were people that said that they have to drive because when they're driving, they're coming up with their best ideas for speeches and for work situations. So they get in the car to drive to think. Maybe we need to outlaw that too.
Oh, no. We woke up the mama.